Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Marjorie Silverman and Bessie Hyman are interviewing Anita Morgenstern at her home at 6112 Alder Street on Monday, April 25th. Tell me something about your father.
My father was born in South America.
What was his name?
Jack Bezordis Thorne. And he was a very handsome man and very, he was a good figure. There were five children in the family. I was the middle born. And everyone called them Mom and Pop. Remember?
Where in South America was he born?
He was born in Colombia. Well, actually, Barranquilla. He came to the United States when he was just a man.
How do you spell his middle name?
Jacques is the first name. Small B-E, capital, well, Desourdis, S-O-U-R-D-I-S. They originally came from Spain, and he was very proud.
What else do you remember about your father that would be of interest?
Actually, my mother was a stronger influence in my life, I think, than my father. Although I like to think that I was just as Spanish as he was. I guess my name and my dark complexion put me on that side of the family. But I felt a very close kinship with my mother.
What was your mother's name?
Lillian Myers. She was originally from Baltimore.
When was she born?
Oh, gee. Louise Freund has told you all this. She's very proud of the family lineage. And I'm just proud of the kind of people that they were in their own right rather than, you know, because it was old family.
Can you tell us more about your mother?
Probably mother was the inspiration for the community work that I did. You know, she was president of Council of Jewish Women at one time. She was president of the Ladies Hospital Aid Society. And she was very active. Always felt that the young people should have an important part in the life of the community. She sort of organized what she thought of as the Junior League of the Jewish community. And she felt that there was a lot of good energy there, and she organized it. I think she was probably responsible for, in a way, for Bessie Anakin giving that property to the community, because she and Bessie were close friends, and she always told Bessie, I think you could do something great for older people. And I think that Bessie would admit that Mom had an influence in that direction.
Did your parents go to college?
I was just thinking before that, I didn't tell you one thing that I feel was a strong influence. Everyone called them Mom and Pop. And when I was dating, I sometimes had the feeling that maybe the fellows were coming to the house because they liked the atmosphere. The front door was always unlocked. Some of my young peers lived in houses where they had to use the back door and the back stairway, and they weren't allowed to dance on the floors. The floors were carpeted. Mom was not considered the best housekeeper, but there were other things more important in her life, and one of the things that was important was young people. She said they kept her young. And father went along on this and enjoyed them too. On Saturday nights, I remember the four Freund gals would have their dates, and we had a round table, which became a big oval table on Saturday nights, and our dates, and later our husbands, and then after that our whole families, including the children, would gather around that table. And it was good conversation, and it was fun, and people could stick their feet up on the furniture and roll the carpets up and dance, and it was a good family kind of atmosphere.
Where did your parents go to school?
They met at Cornell. It was unusual, I guess, in those days in the late 19th century for a woman to go to college, but Mom got her degree there, and she and Father played the fiddle together in the Cornell University Orchestra. So she tells the story that when Father went to Baltimore to work on a railroad, he was an engineer, he looked up Lily Myers and went for dinner there, and she used to visit in Pittsburgh, and she said it was the last place she would ever want to live. It was the first place she came to after they were married.
Do you have any sisters or brothers?
Yes, I was the middle of five growing. First Louise, whom you have interviewed. And
could you give us the dates of
Well, Louise is now about 77, I guess. No, she's not even 75, 74, something like that. And then Jane Steinfurst, who is now deceased. She was married to Donald Steinfurst, the music critic. And she was the one I was closest to. She was a very warm person, and we were very close. No one has really replaced her in her life. Then Anita.
When were you born?
I celebrated my 70th birthday this year. I was born in Beaver, down the river, down the Ohio.
And what is the date of the day that you're born?
1906.
And the day?
November 28th. So I often celebrate on Thanksgiving. Then after me came Margie, who lives in Cleveland. She's married to Richard Adler. She's a stylish one. And the youngest is Jack, the youngest but the biggest. And he's taken his place as family leader.
You were telling me about your home life. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Was it a religious home?
No, not really. Father never went to temple. Mother, she was active in the Ladies' Hospital Aid Society and Jewish organizations, but that neither was religious. And we were exposed to, in Beaver, where I was born, it's now a thriving little big town. But when I lived there, there was a dirt road in front of our house, and there was a main street with, it was comparable to Greensburg. It was an overgrown village. And when we lived there, what was the question you asked?
I started to ask if there was, if your home was a religious home.
Beaver, we went to a Presbyterian Sunday school because Mother and Father felt that we should know something about the Bible, and that was the only place that we could learn it around Beaver. So then we came to Pittsburgh, and Mother had friends that she had known all her life, and they came to call, and it happened to be Christmas holiday, and we had a wreath in the window, and someone said, "You can't do that. You're a member of the Jewish community. Take that wreath out of your window." So she took it out, but it was like cutting off something. It was just what we were used to. So then we went to Rosh Shalom and Sunday school, and they all confirmed.
Economically, were your family well fixed?
Someone else interviewed me recently about the Depression, and I really couldn't contribute much because I think we were sort of untouched by the Depression. It was law of division.
I was going to ask you about the depression later, but from your feeling of your home, as you were growing up, was there? Yes.
We always had enough to eat. We were never wealthy. We had to think twice because it was long division. There were a lot of people to be educated. It didn't cost as much as it does today, but we thought about it, and we didn't spend lavishly. We were comfortable, but I wouldn't say that we were wealthy.
In your home, were there many books? Was it a culturally rich home or a culturally deprived home?
I would say it was culturally rich. I never have been an avid reader myself, but the rest of the family always had their nose buried in a book, and we always went to the symphony. Even when we lived in Beaver, Mother and Father used to haul us in by train from Beaver, or drive in at 35 miles an hour and go to the symphony, and you know, that was quite a deal to get a bunch of kids cleaned up and dressed up and into town to hear the symphony and back out again.
Were your parents very strict with you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Do you remember your grandparents at all?
Very vividly. I was fortunate in having two grandmothers, but I never knew my grandfathers. My grandmother on the mother's side lived in Plainfield, New Jersey, and I remember that was a two-day trip in the car at 35 miles an hour, and my mother used to pile us all in the car, and we would drive to Plainfield, and there we would visit grandmother, and it was very wonderful. It's a beautiful memory. She was a very handsome woman who stayed in Second Morning all her life.
And your father's mother?
I knew not as well. I don't know why that was. I just didn't feel close to her. I didn't see as much of her. She lived in Detroit. I think she died early.
Do you want to tell me a little more about life in the community in Beaver? Do you remember much about it?
Oh, very vividly. Little things like when I went to school, we always had a sleigh ride when the first snow fell, and we would meet at school. I moved to Pittsburgh when I was in the fifth grade, so I was a little tough then. And of course, we walked to school. I remember walking, pointing my toes out so that I could lay them in the herringbone pattern of the bricks. And that's why my ankles were pronated back there. But the sleigh ride was very something that was just lovely to remember. The whole class would go in the sleigh, and there was hay in it. And we'd go up to Dutch Ridge Road, where we would go and have cocoa in the farmer's house. And I remember in the fall raking leaves in the alley behind the house, and we would burn those under supervision, of course, and roast marshmallows. I can still smell the fall odor of the leaves burning and the marshmallows.
Can you tell me something about when you came to Pittsburgh, the difference of the schools here, how they were different from your life in Pittsburgh from your life in Beaver?
Well, one thing I remember was we lived on Shady Avenue, and in those days there were streetcars.
What was the number, Shady?
1088. It was just at the top of the first hill after Fifth Avenue. And we used to sit out on the front steps. We'd sit out on the front steps and listen to the tires singing on the street, because we lived on a dirt road in Beaver, and this was big city stuff. And we used to walk to the temple on Saturdays to Sunday school. And there were a lot of things I liked about it. I went to Linden School, and
see much difference between life today and the way it was when you were little?
Oh, I suppose so. You know, actually, I look back on it now with great nostalgia, and I remember picking violets near our house in Beaver and fitting them into three jelly jars that just fit into Mother's little green wicker basket in the hall. Those things I remember very vividly, but when we were married, Dick and I, we made a clean break. I didn't want any antiques. I didn't want to clutter my house with things that were unmeaningful. So it was very simple, very contemporary setting. And now as I look around, my place has become as cluttered as Mom and Pop's was. But these things are meaningful to me. They have been purchased with Dick in different parts of the world, and they mean something.
Do you remember anything of the politics of when you were growing up? And how they differed from...
I remember Pop was rabid about Roosevelt. He thought the New Deal was just no good. I had an uncle who we used to visit in the Chesapeake Bay, and he was rabid about this too. I never got involved in politics until just recently when I started the gallery at the courthouse. I was very naive about politics.
Do you want to tell me about your religious education? You said you first went to a Presbyterian Sunday school.
It never really meant much to me. I did it because it was expected, and I wasn't asked. You know, in those days we were told.
And where did you go?
The road of Shaw.
Were you confirmed?
Yes. And the gifts meant a lot. I have something interesting to say on this score. My daughter Judy, who is now 38, married a conservative Jew, and they were married at Road of Shoah, but Robert didn't like the ceremony. It was what was arranged, and he went along on it. They were married about 4 years, and when their second child came along, they said, "We are moving to a new house. And we are going to change our life. The reason for moving is that we are going to become Orthodox and we're going to keep a kosher house." And I think this is very interesting. It's a trend today, but it's a very meaningful thing to them. And just 2 days ago, Judy called and said, the interview that you knew I was taking the children to in Silver Springs, Maryland, resulted in us registering our two boys in Hebrew school. Now this is going to change their lives completely. They've been keeping a kosher house and going to an Orthodox shul, but now they're going the whole nine.
Do you mean that the children will be going to a Jewish parochial school?
Right. And they're going to live the life that goes along with it. They're going to be educated in Hebrew. They live in Annapolis now, but they're moving to Silver Springs, Maryland, so that they can be here to school.
Tell me about where you went to primary school.
I went to public school in Beaver, and then to Linden School. And
what grade did you start in?
Fifth grade. As I said, Sierra, one day a week, for the ladylike classes to prepare me to be a housewife, I guess. And then Shenley High. Then, do you want to know about my
higher education? Yes.
I went to Carnegie Tech, it was called then. And my brother kids me about it. He said it took me 7.5 years to get out of there, and all I came out with was a BA. But I started in music, you know, I was a music major. I played the piano at my high school graduation, and I never really liked it. I practiced because I had to, and I was selected as the one in the family who would be the musician. after 2.5 years at Tech, I decided this wasn't for me. And I guess, looking back on it, I think the way I got into the Department of Sculpture was you were allowed to smoke in the mudroom and nowhere else in the building. So I used to go down to the mudroom where I had some friends, and we would smoke. And I would watch what was going on there, and mother and father were going to Europe, and they said, we don't want to leave you unoccupied. Register for some more classes, because I had been gradually dropping in musical composition and solfeggio and gradually the whole thing. So I registered for sculpture, and I was fascinated with it. And then I found I had to learn anatomy, and I had to learn to draw. So I took courses in painting and design, and then the design aspects fascinated me, and crafts, and the next thing I knew, I was still there 7.5 years later, and just moving from one department to another. And even, let's see, it was 15 years ago, I went back and took a course in beginning architectural design, because I could work with the sculptor who did the facade over the Friedhof Hall entrance, you know, that sculptor above the door, was a very talented young sculptor from Yale, and he was here for a few years, and I wanted to work with him. So the only way I could was to register for architectural design.
Do any of your friends during the years you were growing up stand out particularly that you'd like to talk about?
Our family was complete in itself. We didn't need outside people so much. I didn't.
Well, any teachers that had a great influence on you?
Way back in Beaver, in about the second grade, I guess it was, that was during the First World War, an English woman was stranded in the United States, and she taught English, and she acquainted me with the Lamb's Tales of Shakespeare, and I guess that started beyond the classics. She should have hung around longer because I didn't become, as I said, an avid reader, but that was one influence. I can't remember the name. I guess she wasn't that great in there. At Shenley, my report room teacher, Miss Town, who just died at the age of 75. You probably heard about her from others. I was an influence. I belonged to a sorority, so Lucille Klein and Dorothy Weiler, Teresa Cerf, Dorothy May, these were all members of the sorority.
Do you remember anything about classroom discipline when you were growing up here at school?
It didn't upset me. It was, you know, in those days we were told what to do and we did. We conformed. Except I became a nonconformist. Is this the time to tell you about that?
This is better time than any.
I was known as, well, I went to New York and studied art.
This is after Carnegie Mellon?
After Carnegie Mellon. It was less than a year, but it was very important to me. That was during the Depression, and I taught children art, and $5 a month was what I earned, and I stuck all these $5 checks in the savings account until I had enough to go to New York. And what did you want to know about?
Whatever you think.
I started to tell you that I was known as a bohemian, and I must have given my family a real rough time when I came back from New York, because I didn't like any part of Pittsburgh or society or our way of life. And I think, looking back on it, I was probably like the hippies today. And when Dick and I got married, I wanted to live in a garage. I didn't want to be like the Joneses. I wanted to start a fresh life, and he went along with me on this. And it was a clean break.
Do you remember anything about health care when you were young?
No, not really.
Any health services that were available at that time? Do you remember anything about that?
No, it didn't impress me. We always were well taken care of. Socialized medicine didn't exist.
When
there was a family doctor.
Remember his name?
Well, Milton Jenner was a wonderful man. I'm sure other people have mentioned him. He was a real family doctor. And he and Mom and Pop had a thing going. And he was almost like a member of the family.
When you were growing up, what did you do for fun or recreation?
Fun or recreation?
Fun.
Oh, fun. Let's see, when we used to dance, and we didn't date until we were 16 or so. And we did things, family things together. And I guess I never really needed people. I was very self-sufficient. In fact, I needed privacy. When I first got married, it was very upsetting to me that I couldn't go into my room and close the door and be alone. I lived in a big house with a lot of people, and everybody recognized the fact that from time to time we deserved to have a time to ourselves, and we were allowed to do that.
Can you tell me about your courtship?
Dick and I started going together, I guess, when he went away to school. He
what was Dick's name?
Dick Morgenstern. Went to Cornell, and it was about the year that he went away. He was a couple of years ahead of me in school. And we had sort of grown up together, but never paid much attention to each other. And then we started dating when he came home from school on the holidays. And after a while, we were engaged. And he was in business with his father. And his family, not my family, felt that we should not get married until we could afford to live in the style to which we were both accustomed.
What business was his father in?
He was an electrical contractor, and Dick was a junior partner. And then suddenly I was told that Dick had to go to Arizona because he had had an x-ray taken and there was a black spot on his lung. We found out much later that a black spot is on many lungs in Pittsburgh, and it doesn't mean that there's tuberculosis, but it was not diagnosed properly. So he was sent to Arizona for a year. He had a good year on a ranch, a real undued ranch, and while he was gone, I developed a lot of talents and a lot of interests. So that I'm looking back on it, I cried buckets because this was the worst thing that could have happened to me and to Dick. But actually, it gave us a chance to develop, and it was 8 years before we were married. It was a long engagement because the depression came in there, and we just didn't get married for a long time.
When were you married?
1935.
What day?
October the 9th.
Do you have any children?
Yes. Jim was born exactly a year after we were married. And Judy was born 2.5 years later.
Tell me a little bit about your children.
They're both very different. Jim is very sensitive and self-sufficient, and he's a scholar. Judy was always a very happy, warm person, and she and I would walk along the street, and she'd tuck her hand into mine, and I'd squeeze it. She was that kind of a child. And out very differently, but I'm proud of both of them.
Jim, what do they do now?
Well, Jim and his wife, Ann, live in Columbus, Ohio. They're both PhDs, and they are art historians. They teach at Ohio State University. Jim is becoming known as an authority on Byzantine architecture. He married a Southern Baptist, incidentally. This is interesting in combination with Judy and her Jewish family. Anne goes to church. Jim occasionally goes with her. He's certainly not Jewish. She's a lovely girl. I'm very fond of Anne, and she has done a lot for Jim. They have a good life together. They're doing what they want to do. They decided they don't want children. Their life is devoted to his company.